Welcome. You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. The program you are listening to is A Voice of a People, and my name is Linda Sims, and this program is live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. And you will have an opportunity to partake of all the different programs that we have to offer you. So hopefully you take the time to do that. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, new address, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce market, every second Saturday of every month. Time is 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Again, that address is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. It's Logos Christian Ministries. Remember, no appointment or pre-registration. You just simply show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. And believe it or not, September is almost over. It seemed like it just began. Oh, my. So if you missed that, a Saturday ago, then you missed the free produce, and you will have to wait till October. Now, the second week. Yeah, it was September 8th. We're going on the fourth Saturday. And that's when they had the fresh produce. You'll have to wait till October 13th. To be able to participate in that program. We also have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs with 25 years of experience working for you. That is in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-0939. And once again, I want to thank you for listening to our program today. I do have a thought for you today. If you realized how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. Did you realize that your thoughts create your reality? And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, mm-hmm. to think that you have already framed you know, your reality, because mm-hmm. words have power, and a lot of people don't realize how powerful words are.
That's right. That's right.
They create situations. They either lift them up or bring you down, right? They can do all that, right?
That's right.
Kill you or make you alive.
Exactly.
Right. Wow. I just thought that was a good thought for today.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. Excellent. Right. Don't think negative. Always think positive. And just think how powerful that can be in your life and in the lives of others that you talk to. Because right. if you're down, if you play down everything, you can't lift up another person.
No.
Nor can you lift up yourself.
No.
Right. Yes. And the voice you hear in the background is Barb Jagger.
Bernie. Jagger is a long time ago.
I can't help that. I don't know why I like that. I'm going to move like Jagger.
Yeah. You don't know how many times when I was a Jagger. Do you sing? You know?
Yeah.
I said, no, that's Jagger. I'm Jaggers. But now I've gone back to my
maiden
name. I'm Barbara Ann Bernie.
Barbara Bernie.
Yes.
It's not that I got it wrong. She just don't want to accept it at this moment. So how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. After I dug my poetry out from underneath my car. a little trouble getting in here today. I fumbled around and dropped my folder. And, oh, well, it's all good because I have between Linda and I, we've retrieved it all, so we're good.
And it was like right there, you could see it, but I could not bend down there and get that little piece of paper.
I'm glad you came when you did, because I wouldn't have wanted you to see me scratching and clawing the ones that I got.
Oh my, I'm thinking but age. Is it them. Age or is it just our imagination?
You know, I think I'm just going to call it the passing of time.
Okay. That doesn't sound much better.
Well.
Okay, people, I know we're not the only one that have that problem. You don't want to get down because you don't know if you can get right back up, right?
That is the truth.
Wow.
That is the truth.
And what are we coming to?
Thank God I haven't fallen for a while, so. And I'm not looking to do that anytime soon.
Yay.
Or maybe ever.
Yay. We're so glad to hear that one. Yay. Yes, absolutely. And I had Barb to come because she's going to be one of the talents at open mic this Friday evening at the Pavilion, mm-hmm. which is connected to annex of the Palace Theater, and she does poetry, and I'm more than happy to have her back on the show again, because I am just mesmerized how people can write so fluently like that, mm-hmm. and just have so much meaning and so much power behind mm-hmm. it. And we just want to talk about some of the poems that she will be reading today and what made her write that certain poem.
Thank you. And, you know, thank you for the nice words. Number one, I have to give the credit to God. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, if you have a gift, whether you know it or not, it came from God. And this is a gift that he has given me, and I enjoy it. Linda had said something to me about, you know, what causes you to write a certain poem, what makes you write, you know. And we all know that there's inspiration. You know, I do write under inspiration sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I write under just a curiosity, what's this going to sound like, and sometimes I write about what I see. And that's the first one I'm going to write to or read to you today. It's called Raindrops. And I have always, since a small child, been mesmerized by water. Mm-hmm. Any kind of water. Water coming out of the faucet, water laying on plants. You know, it's just, to me, it's beautiful. It's crystal to me. Mm-hmm. It's crystal. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, caused me to write about it, of course, because it is something that I have always been fascinated with. This is called Raindrops. Raindrops on my window, like art from unseen hands, portraying like an echo unspoken words from other lands. Words your eyes can only see, too splendid for the tongue, brings many things to memory for lyrics never sung. The artwork of a raindrop gives beauty to what's there, enhancing features you never saw, like mirrors in the air. Reminding me of miracles, the sun, the sky, the earth, illuminate shimmering spectacles, lest we forget their worth. Lord, thank you for reminders of just how great you are. Remove from us the blinders, so we see we're blessed by far. And that was just simply me standing at my kitchen window. And the rain had collected, it had hit my window, and just was so beautiful. It just, you know, just, I that's the only way I can describe it. You know, it was beautiful, and of course I had to go to the table and start writing. But there are many things that make me write. Mm-hmm. And my two passions is writing and playing the piano, and sometimes I just have to quit what I'm doing and go to the piano.
Right.
I just play, you know.
Right.
And it's just what God has given me, and it's a pleasure mm-hmm. to me. Now,
I was just going to say, blindness. And I think about blindness, and I think about, I have eyes to see, but I'm so blind to so many things that go on in my life and around my life, you know. And you try to, my mother used to say, keep your eyes open,
you know. Right.
And you're thinking, well, they are open. But then we go through life a lot of times, and they're not open. They're open, but we can't see.
Right. And that brings me to a point and I'm going to use my daughter for an example, whether she likes it or not. I see beauty. I see beauty in anything.
Right, right.
Dead trees are, to me, are as beautiful as flowering trees.
Okay.
Because you take a, not a dead tree, but a tree without the leaves. I call it a naked tree.
Okay.
And if you look really closely at that tree, you see the big bough going up and the little ones coming out. Well, if you look at the little ones, there's little tiny ones coming out of those.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's lace.
Wow.
It looks like lace to me. That's just an example of how I see things. And then I'm an expressive person. I'm like, oh, man, wow. And I said, I told my daughter one time when she was just young, I said, oh, sis, look at that tree. She said, Mom, it's a tree.
To you, it was a piece of art.
To me, it was a piece of art.
And it inspired you.
Right. And I have to, that I guess that helped me to understand that, not everything is art to everyone.
That's true.
You know,
that's
and
true.
I see beauty in everything.
Right.
You know, I mean, not disaster, not anything like that, but the forces of nature, the grass, the trees, I sit out behind my apartment and I watch the squirrels run the fence.
Right.
To me, that's majestic. And they go up in the walnut, it's not a walnut tree, it's a hazelnut tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my grandson. He's 7 and very comical sometimes, but he was out there in the yard, and the squirrels thought that he was after their hazelnuts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They started throwing things at him.
Right.
It was hilarious. It was so funny. And I just thought about it. I don't think I have written about that, but I need to write about that because it was so cute. It's beauty that I've always heard, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I have to contest that.
Oh, really?
Yes. Beauty is not in the eye of the beholder.
But don't you see the beholder as the one who looks at it?
Beauty is in the heart of the beholder.
In the heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there's some people that can't see.
True.
But they can hear.
Right.
And they can feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they can know beauty. But you and I can see.
Mm-hmm.
So we can understand that statement, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but it really isn't. You can see, just like you said, you see things, but, oh, I missed that. I didn't see that. Your heart has to receive it. Your eye is the receptor, but if your heart doesn't receive it, it's not beauty to you.
So where'd that quote come from? Evidently, it's not a Bible scripture then.
Et moi. It's just my heart. And it's just the way I see things. It's just the way I perceive it.
I'm going to look it up on Google. They know everything.
I'm sure they'll tell you beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, we'll see.
And that's what I've always heard. But I contest that. I don't think it is.
Where did the quote, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, come from? We'll see.
Well,
Google says. Don't you love Google? And
I do.
What's the other one named Siri? I think
Siri, the talking Siri. Well, yeah. That's for people with iPhones. I have an Android.
It is unknown exactly where or how this idiom originated, but it has been used in different forms since 3rd century BC. When it first appeared in Greek, the first person to use it in the form we know today, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, was an author called Margaret Wolfe.
All right.
Hungerford.
Okay, let me take
so
my...
So it's not a Bible scripture.
No, I knew that. Let me take my plea a little bit further.
Okay.
Have you ever seen two people together and one of them is drop-dead gorgeous?
She's late.
She's late. One of them's drop-dead gorgeous, and the other one is just really, really plain. But he sees her as beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, now where's he? What is he looking at her with?
His heart.
See, beauty is in the heart.
Yes.
It really is.
Wow.
It's in the heart.
Yes. That makes sense, though.
That's a proverb according to me.
Yes. Well, and we have to think that our eyes are connected to our heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you look at something long enough, it enters your heart.
And have you ever looked at someone that everybody in the world took as totally gorgeous, and you didn't like that person?
Yeah.
That person wasn't gorgeous to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
You did not see that person as gorgeous.
Right.
There used to be a commercial years ago, and Barbara and I used to watch this commercial, and it was about, I think it was Pert shampoo.
I remember that.
And this blonde, long blonde hair, and she had real thick lips, and we thought she was ugly. And she goes, "Don't hate me because I'm beautiful." And Barbara and I would just laugh, you know. Like, yeah, you think you are. But it's how you see people. It's That's how true. You see what you're looking at. Your eye is only the vessel that carries the sensory to your innermost being, to your heart, you know. And you have the choice to see it as beautiful.
That's true.
Or to see it as ugly.
That's true.
So. That's my take on it. Now, I'm going to read you a poem that I wrote just a couple days ago when I was thinking about my time here. If you know me, you know one of my operational devices is a coffee pot. I am a coffee person.
Okay.
I need coffee. And anybody that knows me very well knows that. So that was the inspiration for this. It says, though my house is never nasty, seems it always is in need. I made my bed and folded laundry, then thought I'd take a book and read. I chose a book and made some coffee, and won't you know what I would see? A little messy around my Keurig. I'll take 2 minutes and get it clean. By then my phone was ringing. It was a call that I must take. Then suddenly remembering, I was about to take a break. The thought of nice hot coffee, my book, and my favorite chair. At last I was relaxing, but my book and coffee weren't there. As not to defeat my purpose to enjoy myself a while, from the comfort from my spot I rose to retrieve my brew and file. The pot was clean, my coffee cold, my book was who knows where. The thought has come, I'm growing old. Somehow, it doesn't seem fair. At last, I found my book to read and nuked my coffee, too. I'm settled in my chair again, and I'll be sleeping soon. The microwave made it way too hot. My book bored me to tears. I'm resting in my favorite spot. The phone is ringing. Who cares?
You sound like my daughter when it comes to that coffee. I tell you, she has a cup. I went over there last week, and it looks like it holds a quart of coffee. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? That's enough coffee for the whole week.
Oh, my.
I mean, as far as I drink coffee, you know.
Right.
But it seemed like her cup is getting bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking, do you really need that much coffee at one time?
I know, right? Some people are fast coffee drinkers, and I'm not. So
I think she is.
Mine gets cold before I before I get it all. So I have a smaller cup.
Okay.
That I really like it because I usually get to the bottom of it before it gets too cold to drink. But then I fill it back up again, of course.
I don't know what to tell her. I'm thinking that thing is huge. Do you hear me?
I know, right? I don't like big ones because my coffee gets cold and it's too heavy for me. So.
And she probably heats that thing up 100 times.
100 times because I know with my normal size cup, I sometimes heat it up 3 times.
Are there any coffee drinkers out there with a quart size coffee cup?
Let us know.
How much coffee do you need in a day?
It depends on my day, actually. Depends on my day.
Right. I'm talking to some of them, too, that may be listening. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Coffee.
That's...
So, Barbara, I know you tell us what else you have for us today.
Okay. Here's another reason that I write poetry, another thing that I want to say reason to write poetry, but a call for poetry. sometimes people will ask me.
Inspiration, right?
Well, no. Sometimes people will just ask me. And this, my friend was having a baby shower for a very special friend of hers. I didn't know her friend. Mm-hmm. But she was having a baby shower, and she wanted me to write a poem that they could print on real fancy paper and frame it and present it to her at the shower. So I went home, and that's what I did. It's called Mother's Pledge. Tiny toes and tiny fingers and a smile I long to see. Oh, what joyous thought that lingers in my heart for you and me. While you're growing now inside me and I'm preparing for your birth, I'm asking God even now to guide you on your journey here on earth. I am praying for the wisdom to impart his love to you, so in every situation he will show me what to do. Girl babies are a sweetness sent down from heaven above, and when they smile, they show us so much of God's sweet love. So, baby girl, I pledge this day to love and cherish you. I'll guide you in the Savior's way and teach his love to you.
That's good.
So that's, you know, that's just, I love to write for people. I love for somebody to give me, you know,
a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And usually when somebody will say, well, I want you to write about, you know, something, I'll say, well, tell me a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's for a certain person, you want to know just a little bit about that person, what their likes and dislikes, you know, just basic.
Right.
But just, well, she knew she was having a girl. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that was helpful on that. Those are a few reasons that I write. Another thing is something that I started doing a long time ago, and it never went anywhere. And here, about a year or so ago, I started writing songs again. And I'm still looking for somebody to sing my songs. But I thought, you know, I'm not going to sing it for you. And you, if you'd hear me sing, you would thank me for not singing it. But it's called Hallelujah Morning. There is nothing new, the Bible says. We've heard it all before. How we were told one day he'll come again. The prophets told us long ago that nations would rise and fall. Unfolding now before our eyes, the mystery of it all. Oh, what a grand and glorious morning when all strife and sorrow cease, forever with the Prince of Peace rejoicing at his feet. Oh, resurrection morning, Lord, I'm longing for the time when I will see the face of Jesus. What a hallelujah time. We have all heard the sad songs, and we've seen our share of wars. The sea has tossed each one of us. We all have countless scars. But I'm determined to see Jesus, who bore his scars for me. For each nail that ripped his flesh away brought peace and life to me. The time is quickly coming when peace will reign no more. The bounty that we're now enjoying will be undone by Satan's roar. But, you know, he can't stop the king from coming. He can't stop the trumpet sound. And he can't stop the saints rejoicing as their new bodies leave the ground. Oh, what a grand and glorious morning when all strife and sorrow cease, forever with the Prince of Peace rejoicing at his feet. Oh, resurrection morning, Lord, I'm longing for the time when I will see the face of Jesus, and all of heaven will be mine.
You know, when you talk about strife, we'll never be without strife as long as we live in this world.
No.
And it's like, where's it all coming from? It seems like it's growing. Mm-hmm. It's not decreasing. It's growing. Mm-hmm. It's getting bigger and it's getting broader. And it's about like every little thing, not even big issues anymore. It's about the little itty bitty things that get up under people's skins, mm-hmm. and they just want to lash out, or you don't talk to me that way, and it's like, well, who do you think you are? And it's gotten out of hand. Mm-hmm. And for us to think about a world that is to come where there will be no more fighting, no more dying, you know, we'll have peace in the world, you know, no more sickness.
And no pain.
No more pain.
No more falling.
Yeah, that too. That's right. And all those things that disrupt, we find disruptive in our lives today, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to do with this strife that's going on? It may be a family member. It may be your mate or someone in your church or maybe where you worked is someone always bickering about mm-hmm. this and that because they're unsatisfied. And we live our life where we're just unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. If it's not about one thing, it's about everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about everything.
I think you hit on something right there. The reason behind strife a lot of times, probably most times, is because they are unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, they're unhappy with themselves. And I think probably one of the worst things that I hear that people say is, who do you think you are?
Right, right.
And I think the only answer to that is, I'm a child of God.
Right.
You know, and I think that would stop a lot of tongue lashing, you know, if when somebody asks you, who do you think you are? Well, yeah. I'm a child of God.
And you hope to be a voice of reason.
Right.
You know,
right.
whether you can not diffuse the argument, but at least show another aspect of
right.
argument, you know,
right.
to try to diffuse it. But people are angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so mm-hmm. angry. You know, it's... You can't even turn on the TV. They're just angry.
We live in an angry world.
Yes,
we really do. We really do.
It seems to be that way.
Yeah.
They're just angry.
And you can't say
anything to calm people down anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to hear that. You know,
right.
then they go about their business,
right.
you know. But that disrupts peace. You can't have peace.
And, you know, an argument, one part of an argument is you give your side and they give their side.
Right.
In order to come to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, they're not really arguments. They're attacks.
Yes.
You know, I really don't mind arguing with somebody, arguing a point with someone.
Right, right.
But as far as an attack goes, I'm out the door. You know?
Yeah, because it hurts.
Sure
you feel it. It's personal,
yeah.
you know. Wow. Like somebody just punched you in the face or something,
right.
or in your gut, you know.
Right.
You're right. Those are attacks.
Those are attacks. They're that an argument, you know, is. I'll let you tell your part too.
Right, right,
you know?
Right, right.
But most of it, I find is an attack. They'll you know, rat you out or cuss you out or whatever, and walk away.
Right,
and that's
right.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Bad part of it.
Mm-mm-mm. Whoa. So we did talk about beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We found out that's not a Bible scripture.
No.
Okay, and we did talk about strife.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've talked about anger.
Anger's a big thing today.
Anger. It really is.
It's a big thing. And... I think it, you know, the Bible says be angry and sin not. Well, what does that mean? That means, okay, I can be angry because you did something.
Mm-hmm.
But if I cuss you out, I've sinned. You know, if I hurt you, I've sinned.
Right.
Deliberately.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that I have hurt many people that I didn't have a clue.
And I've taken it too far.
Yeah. And it's, but anger... In its rightful context, we're supposed to be angry about sin.
And hate it.
And hate it.
The only thing we're supposed to hate.
But who was it used to sing? One of the old gospel singers. She sang, "We're getting used to the dark."
Mm-hmm.
It might have been the McCamies.
Okay.
And that's chilling. Because. We're getting used to the dark, literally. We get used to sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and no, we're not set up as judges of people, but you do judge sin. I mean, sin is sin,
mm-hmm.
and
we become comfortable with it.
Yeah, the darkness has engulfed us. And don't get me on my soapbox here because the TV is as far as I'm concerned the biggest portal for that. It lets in
everything.
You open up your home, you open up your family, you open up your vulnerability to the enemy.
That's true.
And
That's true.
Yeah.
That's so
I mean
true.
There's a lot of good stuff on TV,
yes,
a lot of good
is.
Preachers. But it's just like, I don't believe in drinking. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're going to go to hell for a glass of wine. I'm not saying that at all. But how many people, I'm sure there are people, can stop. You know, the Bible says, you know, not to get drunk, wherein mm-hmm. it is in excess.
Right.
And it's such a lethal drug, if you will. You know, when you drink a little bit, you kind of lose that line where the little bit is sometimes, unless you, beforehand.
It's possible.
Yeah. And I just stay away from it. Yeah, I just stay away from it.
So if you love a bit too much, yeah.
I'm not preaching here. I'm just saying me. That's one of the things that I would just have to stay away from.
Right, right.
And it's...
I understand. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just...
We all know our boundaries.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. Yes, my boundaries, you know.
Yes,
I know I can't think I'm going to have a toast and let that be it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you know your boundaries, you, like you said, you don't go there.
Right.
You don't go there.
I just don't go there.
Right. So I know we were talking about messages and music before we came on air. And you can go through your life with different experiences. And like we were saying, these songs will come up in your mind,
yes.
and they will just fit that situation,
yes.
you know. And that's poetry. Also, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. Well, songs, probably a big share of songs start out as poetry.
Yeah.
And it's just put to music, or used to. I don't know. I don't think so much anymore. But it's still a form of poetry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Based on life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a form of poetry.
So what do you have for us now?
Well... We were talking about storms, right?
Yes.
Okay. This one was written in 1996 at 12:15 a.m. What's that tell you about me? I used to put my family to bed, clean house, and then write.
Really?
Yes.
You was
yes.
up all night, right?
Yes. But, you know, like you said, we all have storms. We all have hurtful things and scary things. Some things, you know, can scare your flesh,
mm-hmm.
but there is a place that we can go. This is called He Calms My Storm. He calms my storm when winds of trouble assail me. He stills the seas that writhe and boil about me. When woes would drown me in my tears, he steps aboard and relieves my fears. Sometimes I'm on the mountain and I sit at Jesus' feet. It's there I'm drinking from the fountain of living waters, pure and sweet. Yes, there I rest from toil and sorrow, and my soul finds sweet relief. Oh, what joy on that great tomorrow when our journey is complete. Then sometimes I'm in the valley and I cannot feel him near. Its inky darkness covers me with clammy hands of fear. I look up to the heavens above and fall down on my knees. Then once again I feel his love. And the sun shines through the trees. This journey that we're traveling on has hills and valleys, too. Sometimes the road is rough and long, some pastures green and smooth. One thing that never changes, though, the narrow path we're on is guided by a hand we know will never lead us wrong. I'm thankful for that hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful for that hand.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. What? I mean... Don't we always need a hand from somewhere?
Oh, absolutely.
Someone.
Absolutely.
I need a hand all the time. You
I
know,
do
it's
too.
Like sometimes I'm just overwhelmed, especially when I look at my house. It seems like I still have so much going on. No matter how much I declutter, okay, declutter. It's like if I have to go to church, I have three closets. Somehow I got to go through each closet to find something to wear. Then I try on at least three or four outfits. What do? I throw them on the love seat, right? So it has become my dressing room.
Thank you. I have
you
that
got
too.
Oh my.
But I put mine usually on the bed. And then when I come home and I want to go to bed, I have to hang up a bunch of clothes.
They're on the bed, too.
But if I didn't put them on the bed, I would probably go to bed with them just laying there.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm thinking, what is wrong? I can't get this right. Here I am getting older, and I didn't have that much problem when I was younger. I just take something out, hang it up on so where I can see it, and then I get in it, right? Oh, my.
I know, right?
I need at least an hour just to decide what I'm going to wear to church.
You know, it looks good. This is funny, too, because in putting my makeup on, I need to know what I'm going to wear.
Okay.
Because I don't want blue eyeshadow on if I have a green outfit on, you know.
Or, really?
Oh, yeah.
So what color eyeshadow do you wear when you're wearing green?
When I wear green, usually purple.
Really?
Purple goes well. Or brown. Purples or browns.
Okay.
Now, if I wear red, I always wear purple. Because purple, believe it or not, does complement red very well.
Yes, and orange. And,
yes.
Yeah.
It's my go-to. The purple is my go-to, purple and brown. I don't normally wear green eyeshadow because my first husband made fun of somebody that had green eyeshadow on. And I can't get that out of my mind. He told her she looked like she had mold on her eyes.
Oh, no. Oh, maybe it was a shade of green that she was wearing.
You'd have to be careful with that, really. He was a joker. But
you'll have to write a poem about that, then.
I probably should.
Your color eyes.
But I have thought about that so many times.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've worn green a few times, but not very many times.
Not many, huh?
No.
So you don't need him to come after you. You would think about what he said every time you would think about wearing green eyeshadow.
Yeah.
And I don't wear it a lot. If I'm going out on the town, like 9 to 5 wear, then I wear my eyeshadow.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to. I'm peaked. I have to have color. I used to work in Huntington, and this has been several years ago, and I was almost late. It was on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I was so hungry, and I knew that I had time to put my makeup on and be a little bit late, or I could just go with my face, you know, my ghostly, ghastly face. And I could run through McDonald's and get a wrap, mm-hmm. those egg, whatever they are. And so I decided to do that. Well, I ran through McDonald's, and just so happened one of the young ladies in my Sunday school class was running the drive-thru, and she goes, "Oh, what's wrong with you? You look sick."
That's all I need, right? For you to tell me how bad I look.
Anytime I go... I'm not kidding. When I go without makeup, if there's somebody that knows me, sees me, they're like, "What's the matter? You know." They don't do it so much anymore, but I'm real careful where I go without my face on.
There's always someone, right, that does that.
There's always someone
that can pick those things out about you. Like, wow, okay. What about my outfit? Don't you like the pants I have on? The color shirt.
I know.
Just look
right
at my face and say, "Oh wow, we are so." As being women, we are so particular, and I guess we have to be.
Yeah, we do.
Because you got other women looking at you. Yep. That's sad, isn't it?
Well, tell the real story. It's a competition.
Right.
It's a competition.
Yes, it is.
It is, even if you think it's not, you know, even if you, I don't enter into that realm, you know. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
And I hear men say, "Why do women always worry about what they wear and how it looks?" And because, like you said, there's other women looking.
Right. Yep. That's the truth.
And I want to think, "Oh, well, man is checking me out. You know, he just may check me out." But this woman said, "What is wrong with her? What does she have on?" You know, I wouldn't be caught dead in that. You know, you hear that all the time. Or you may even say it about, you know, someone you
right.
see. Wow, what does he see in her? We do things like that.
Oh, we do. Well, that's what I was saying about the beauty.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have seen couples where, you know, like she was maybe just a living doll, and oh my goodness, that poor thing, you know. Yeah. He needs help, you know. But she, you know, he's her Samson or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Beauty is.
We are
in the heart.
Our worst enemies, our own worst enemies.
We are.
Women are.
We are.
Because when I think about myself, it's like, and my girls, when they were growing up, it seemed like I couldn't get them perfect enough, you know, because of ridicule. And, mm-hmm. and just like we're saying, mm-hmm. you know, and other people, well, what does she have on them girls? You know, look at their hair. And, you know, because We're critical.
I can't believe how she dresses that kid.
That's right. We're critical, aren't we?
We are. We are.
Wow. It's sad. I was with a friend of mine when I worked at Mirren Power Shovel, and I carried around a wet cloth for my kids, their face or their hands or whatever. And we had went to Kings Island down by Cincinnati. We all stayed over in a hotel room before we came back up north. And she said, if you touch them kids one more time with that rag.
You know what you just reminded me of?
What?
When I was in grade school, it was a story that we had to read. It was in our storybook about the kids with no faces. This woman washed her kids' faces so many times that she wore their face off. All it was is a blank blob.
No eyes, no nose, no mouth. You know,
now that makes sense to me.
Yeah. She said, if you touch them kids one more time with that face cloth, she said, like me and her was going to really fight, you know, about my kids. Those are my kids.
I know, right?
But it was like you couldn't get your hands dirty, couldn't get their mouth dirty. I was always wiping, you know, so.
Well, you know.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I've been around people that wouldn't let their kids get dirty.
Oh, my mother was like that. You better not.
Really?
Once she dressed me, okay, I'm the first. Once she dressed me, it was for the entire day. I could not get dirty.
Oh, my. Well, my kids went out and played, and they played in the sand. They played in the mud if they needed to. They ran through the rain. They got dirty. But believe you me, before they went to bed, you know, they were in the bubbles. So
I still went to the bubbles, but I didn't really get a chance to get
really
dirty,
get
you know.
To get dirty. I let my kids get dirty.
And my dad said, when I did let you outside, you just went out in the dirt, threw dirt up.
Well, why not?
All in your hair, right?
Why not?
Oh, boy, I tell you, childhood.
Oh, wow.
What we go through in life.
I was raised in northern Michigan in the woods.
You have
literally.
You have anything to go with that?
You know I don't. I should.
We have. Well, give us what you got over
but
there.
But I don't think I do. What is this? It says over, and there's nothing on the back side of that. So, oh, wait a minute. Here it is.
You've talked about water twice, and I think about water being the strongest force on the earth.
Yeah.
In a hurricane, and we were looking at that eye of the hurricane a couple of days ago, and it just looked at impossible that these people, and not only them, have experienced what tornadoes or hurricanes do, the devastation that they bring on everybody. But and then you talk about soft raindrops.
Yeah.
You know, it's very strong. It can be very soothing. Water can be soothing.
Yeah.
A nice rain.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about going to sleep. Oh,
oh
my.
I know. And
you
I love to walk in the rain.
It
just
nice
soothes rain.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look at fire.
Yeah.
Fire, we couldn't live without fire. You know, it keeps us warm.
True.
It's beautiful. It's romantic.
Yes.
But then it's a deadly thing.
Yes, it is. Yes,
if you don't think it is, call California. Isn't that something? When we were talking about water being such a force, back in the, I think it was the 90s, the early 90s, my sister lived in South Dakota, and they lived where the flood was, a horrible, horrendous flood. And after everything was over, we would, you know, go to Rapid City where the flood was, and house after house after house after house, neighborhoods would have TS written on the roof. Thoroughly searched. But what really got me is the pavement just buckled up like it was a roll of taffy. Just buckled up like this. I know you guys can't see me, but you have to imagine that one. But you know, and it's like anything else, you know, it's fire and ice. Ice is good, but yet ice also kills. Well, let's go to words.
Words. There's devastation and peace in everything.
Yeah.
Or beauty. And beauty.
Words can devastate.
Yes.
But words can heal.
Yes. And make alive.
Yeah.
And make alive.
Yes,
isn't that
make
beautiful?
Alive, yeah.
Wow.
This is about...
We are out of time.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not, we are out of time.
Well, we'll do it next time.
Yes, and you have been listening to Barb Burney. And remember, she will be one of the participants this Friday evening at the Pavilion, the annex of Marion Palace Theater on West Center Street. And that time is 7:30, isn't it?
I thought it was 7.
Or 7. Okay, 7. Maybe I was wrong. 7 o'clock. So
I could be wrong. So.
She'll be one of the participants there. And if you're out and don't have anything to do Friday evening, stop by the Palace. You have been listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Until next time, be blessed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?